Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to the 11th episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want to listen to a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. Our guest today is Josiah Tolby, founder and CEO of Go Lucid, a research and consulting firm dedicated to discovering the best event technology solutions for the entire event ecosystem.
There's always the challenge of, you know, how versatile do you want to make the event in terms of people's options? How much content do you provide, right? Do you want education, legitimate education to be a part of it? Where do you strategically position those things? To make sure that people are getting a good balance of experience, right? You know, the most optimal, you know, kind of engagement experience. But not losing sight of the fact that, you know, you sold that booth space and that exhibitor is very dependent on the opportunity to meet with somebody.
Josiah Tolby has a career in events spanning two decades and acutely feels the pain of the event and trade show teams. He began as a registration specialist and worked as an executive for some of the top independent show organizer firms in the United States. His experience spans multiple technology-related roles, giving him a unique perspective on the growing, evolving event tech landscape. In 2023, Josiah founded Go Lucid, a research and consulting firm dedicated to discovering the best event technology solutions for clients in associations and independent show organizer companies. He used his industry knowledge to develop a proprietary matching system, bringing together clients and vendors tailored to specific needs. Now, on to this insightful episode with Josiah Tolby. Josiah, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on here. With the small reschedule, it gave me an opportunity to take my morning walks and catch up on some of the other recordings that you have done, which was great. So I feel mildly more prepared for today, but I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
To start with, I think what I would like to dive in is a bit of what you saw at IMEX. You just came back from there. It was there a couple of weeks back. The big show about the event industry. What was new?
Yeah, so let me first off start by saying IMEX is an amazing event. I definitely think that it's kind of the leading event within the event industry. It's held at Mandalay Bay. It's an incredibly large floor plan. Some of the booths that you see there are just absolutely stunning and beautiful, intricate designs and layouts. It's always just a pleasure to be at the event. You know, me being in the event technology sector, I often spend most of my time in a, compartmentalized area, within the event. But I certainly try to, walk the entire event, get a feel for the different companies that are there. If I have time, pop into a few different sessions that maybe aren't event tech centric. It's really an incredible event. My objectives are always, to lean on the opportunity of that face-to-face value. A lot of people that I know in my 20 years of being in the business are at the show. A lot of the people that are within the sector that I research are at the show. So for me, it's often just optimizing that face-to-face time. even if for just a couple of minutes, you know, depending on our schedules, and trying to make the most of that. I think the show, one of the things that I really think the show does a great job at is their social media strategy. They're incredibly engaged in their social media execution. Even to the point to where I posted a little comment, referenced IMEX, and they were immediately posting something to that comment, you don't always see at some of the other events. And it's just a good example of, where they go the extra distance to help people feel engaged and get value. And, it might have just been a quick little post that said, "We're so glad to hear that," but I felt incredibly important when they took the time to do that. And I see them doing that in a lot of different places. They really do focus on the content. They're very creative about how they go about it. And it's an area where I think they excel.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I told you that I was registered and I was supposed to attend. I couldn't make it at the end, but my interaction with them have been very, very good, very, very smooth and very proactive, if I may put it simply. So absolutely. I think that reflects on the organization, the organizers and what they're doing. Talking of when you walk the exhibition, what is it that sort of sprung at you? What was new? What was exciting this year?
Yeah, I to be completely transparent, I don't know. I mean, they didn't do a whole lot of reorganization, but it's a really large floor plan. And for me, it was, there's so much going on. The creativity of booths are, incredible. That I can't say that I saw anything specific that, was new. I'm sure there were many, implementations that they were doing that probably catered to, the group that gets the most out of the show, which is that kind of meeting planning segment, was of immense value to them. For me, it really just felt like similar to the show that was there last year. Beautiful, well executed, and full of people. I mean, the attendance was phenomenal. I think something interesting too, and again, talking about that differentiation a little bit, it is a hosted buyer show. I always like having conversations with folks who are part of those programs to get an idea of kind of how they're approaching it, how they're scheduling their meetings, some of the accountability to it. But I think that makes a big difference, in the event. People spend money to be at that show, because of the hosted buyer program and kind of the requirement, to connect and meet. There's a good chance that you will get scheduled meetings in your booth just through the exercise that they're doing, outside of anything that you would do preliminary or just the aisle traffic. And I think that brings immense value to the show. I talked quite a bit with different individuals, who had installations there, about kind of the value of those meetings. Do they feel like it was just somebody coming in to sit down with them because they had a meeting, or did they typically have a genuine interest? And I'd say that it almost always swayed on the, we think that people typically had interest and we felt like it was a quality lead. Knowing that you're walking away with quality leads because of the way that the show's approaching its implementation is, instrumental. And immense value, in terms of the cost commitments that it takes to go to an event.
Yeah. This is great input. So hosted buyers, is something, I guess, more B2B, at least trade show organizers should be looking at. If they're not, how complicated is it to execute on a hosted buyer model?
You know, that's a good question, but I think what I want to kind of, you know, add to in regards to that is, you know, there's a lot of success for the hosted buyer program at that show, because there's, you know, so many companies there that support that hosted buyer program. For example, you know, I was speaking with a lady and she was talking about being part of a hosted buyer program and just sort of discussing what she got in return from the show. But in addition to that, particular vendors were also sort of contributing to that, adding to that, and helping to sort of offset some of those costs that she might have incurred herself, whether it was, you know, picking up a hotel or, you know, providing some sort of arrangement in some other capacity. And I think that, again, is a good example where IMEX does a great job in that hosted buyer program, is that they not only are making the effort, but many of the vendors are supporting that cause. And so it's kind of a no-brainer if you can be a hosted buyer to take that initiative and leverage those opportunities to make sure that you come to the show, you spend all 3 days there, and you optimize the opportunities of connecting with as many companies as possible.
Yeah, makes sense. Did you hear anything from organizers of existing shows talk about some new ideas that they're planning to implement? Anything that you think which will sort of be seen in 2025, but you have some inkling of what might be, those might be?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of conversations with other show producers at the event. And I haven't had a lot of conversations with, you know, show producers. Certainly, you know, Event Tech Live is on the horizon here in November. You know, they do put on a hosted buyer program. I think they see the value in that. And so there is some consistency in that approach. I know that Expo, which is produced in December, also has a structured hosted buyer program, again, trying to encourage people to, you know, be more proactive in their approach to the show, you know, get some element of their time, you know, pre-scheduled and make sure that, you know, they really are doing the work in advance to optimize the engagements at the show. You know, look, I always tell people, you know, trade show success is a mathematical problem, right? You have X number of days, you have X number of hours, right? And depending on the number of meetings you are, you have only so many that you can conduct. If you take that in the most optimized manner, right, that means you have to cut out every time you run into somebody in an aisle, right, that you haven't seen. You got to remember, okay, this can't be a 30-minute conversation. This got to be a 5-minute conversation if you really want to optimize that time. So when you have a hosted buyer program and you have a structured approach to it, you know, you're sort of forcing people to be diplomatic about how they're going to come into that event and how they're going to spend that time. And the more diplomatic and persistent they are with keeping to that schedule, the greater the value it brings for the exhibitors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think basically when I talk to attendees, that there are two things they're there for. One is, of course, the exhibitors and the technologies or products or services, whatever they're going to see, depending upon which trade show it is. And the other thing is to network. And network serendipitously, right? It is not only fixed networking, but not only meeting people you know who will be there, who are connected with you, but also trying to meet new people who you wouldn't have met otherwise. So on that point, I think let's move on. Anything else you want to talk about IMEX, or shall we move on to your core area?
Yeah, you know, this kind of connects to my core area, but you know, there was kind of a tech education section that was set up supported through, you know, Dahlia Agency. And I had an opportunity to, you know, periodically pop into some of the, you know, the sessions that were going on there. It was great to see kind of a curated area focused on event tech, allowing, you know, sort of a different medium for some of the companies to engage, not just engage, but feasibly educate. And I thought it was a really, really good, really great implementation, executed really well. And I think anybody that was in there, depending on the session that they participated in, was gaining immense amount of value. And again, you know, event tech is its own little kind of sector. Someone said to me yesterday, and it was a really good statement, is, you know, I don't think people are, you know, hopping on the computer every day and asking themselves, what is the latest event tech, or, you know, what's going on in the event tech space? Like, they're not looking at it daily. They're maybe not looking at it weekly, right? So to look at the event and see that implementation, there are a few other booths that, you know, hosted some sessions within their booths that, again, you know, built a really nice community feel to the event tech space. I think drew a lot of people over into the area that, you know, maybe had that as a low priority from, you know, meeting with companies, but were interested in the education. It was set up within the environment. So again, you know, once you were over there, that traffic could kind of trickle out through some of the exhibitors that were there. And I think it was really well done.
Excellent. I mean, let's take this opportunity to talk about AI. Do you see a lot of talk of AI, or was AI being talked of primarily as a co-pilot assistant to stuff that you're doing? What you're seeing in the rest of sales tech space, or did you see anything completely new in terms of application of AI?
Yeah, I mean, AI is a hot topic, a lot of companies are, you know, looking at it and trying to figure a way to, you know, optimize it. It's interesting because, you know, sometimes people use the term AI and they say AI is event tech, right? And they're looking for, you know, AI, you know, and to me, I'm like, it's not event tech, you know, it's a tool that if integrated into event tech can offer a lot of great value. I still think that it's relatively early. I've seen a number of, you know, different situations where people are starting to implement it, either as a means of saving time or to provide, you know, some sort of, you know, more a responsive resource, have it be some type of tool that the individual engaging in the platform can leverage. So there's a lot of different little implementations. There are a few that we're releasing that at the show, but I still think it's relatively early. I often struggle with AI. I think I posted something like this the other day where, you know, I was trying to get something out of it and it just kept giving me the wrong thing, you know, which makes me think, okay, it's still in its infancy stages as a technology as a whole. So it's really hard to say how it's going to influence it, you know, what impact it will have. You know, what things will get implemented that actually work versus what things are just a gimmick, right? And it's easy to take AI and make a gimmick and to try to claim AI, you know, as some sort of competitive advantage. I think the real competitive advantage aspect of it has quite a ways to go.
Yeah. So if we move to the landscape that you are building, the repository that you are building, do you see any application of AI which is not ChatGPT wrapper?
Yeah. A place where I'm seeing people start to lean on it is in that configuration side of things, right? Like the ability to work with the tool as a means of speeding up configuration. You know, it's kind of interesting because you look at the custom dev environment to kind of the, you know, self-serve administrative configured environment, And then, you know, AI is starting to play a role in both of those places, right? Whether it's, you know, developing something from a custom perspective, or whether it's taking a platform and its, you know, parameters and starting to do some configuration. So that's a place I'm starting to see is a little bit more trend, as people are trying to incorporate it in and find a way to have it, you know, execute something that might have taken, you know, I don't know, 5 hours and just throwing things out there. And now it can do it in, you know, 30 minutes. I think that's, you know, very different than maybe the traditional ChatGPT model, where, you know, it really is being designed as a tool, and its you know, capabilities, you know, of doing things faster than we can, right? And having that, again, provide immense value to the person that's using the tool, or even to the company who's doing the work on behalf of the customer.
Would you like to talk in specifically about a product which is doing something?
You know, I always take the approach of, if I mention one, I've got to mention them all, because, you know, my research is unbiased, and I'd love to throw out, yeah, this, that, but then I feel like I'm being unfair to everybody else. What I will say is, you know, I'm also seeing it, just in some other tools, right? In terms of, you know, how the AI can, you know, lean into the engagement, right? When you know, there's some sort of interaction, you know, the AI is able to jump out and grab some information that's, you know, that can be brought back to somebody, to help maybe optimize that action, that interaction, or maybe the actions that have to happen after the fact. You know, my hope for AI is that, you know, it can kind of change the way we gather information about both parties, and, you know, really improve the filtering of that information to, you know, curate quality engagements, right, when you're at the show, right? And not just the booth to booth, you know, attendee to booth aspect of it, but potentially the attendee to attendee aspect of it, or maybe even just attendee to exhibitor, but maybe exhibitor for a separate conversation than what their booth might be promoting. You know, that's something, you know, when I go to an event is, you know, I want to have as many conversations with people as possible. You know, when somebody's working a booth, it's sometimes challenging to get in there and throw something out there that they go, oh, this is of interest, I want to spend time on it, because they're trying to optimize buyers. But I think that AI, you know, in the future can really start to improve that. And again, looking at that basic math calculation, right, maybe taking into consideration the opportunities that live outside of the show, be using more of a question and answer model to collect information versus, you know, check a box, that might, you know, be able to allow for that incredible person-to-person interaction to be optimized, increased, or again, you know that you're coming into a situation where it's going to be a really fruitful conversation. I often go to events and test things out, right? Here's, I'm just going to throw this out here and see what happens. But then I learn so much when I do that, you know, but it's not the easiest thing to do. But it's a great place for it to be done, because everybody's there. It's face to face, and, you know, you're never going to get that trying to schedule meetings and, you know, be on a video call. I mean, to some extent, yes, but I can have a ton more opportunities of really quality engagement at an event, than I can anywhere else. And that's a place I hope to see AI really, you know, have a positive influence.
Fantastic. So that gives us a segue to actually talk about engagement, because that's what trade shows are about, right? How effective is this engagement at the booth level, or as it's getting, or as a follow-up post-event? Where do you see this is?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think depending on the person you talk to, you know, often determines their, you know, their objectives with the event. I know a lot of people who go to the show just to socialize and to catch up with people they know. I know some people who don't do that, and they prioritize that booth optimization and really try to make sure that they get through, you know, every booth. There's always the challenge of, you know, how versatile do you want to make the event in terms of people's options? How much content do you provide, right? Do you want education, legitimate education to be a part of it? Where do you strategically position those things to make sure that people are getting a good balance of experience, right? You know, the most optimal, you know, kind of engagement experience, but not losing sight of the fact that, you know, you sold that booth space and that exhibitor is very dependent on the opportunity to meet with somebody. Sometimes I think that can really vary by event. It does for me, because I have a specific area where, you know, I conduct research. So, you know, I tend to prioritize my time around, you know, optimizing that while, you know, making sure that, that I'm able to, you know, connect with the people that I know in the industry. You know, that's also just important to me to see people and let me catch up on what I'm doing and what you're doing and, you know, maybe see whether there's some synergies around what's going on that, you know, could encourage us to follow up after the fact. You kind of mentioned follow up, you know, after the fact, right? I was listening to a few other, you know, podcasts that you've done, and there seems to be kind of a narrative, and it's funny because it's a narrative that I think you and I, that kind of prompted you and I actually talking about having this happen, is the lack of follow-up after an event. That's in the attendee to attendee, maybe the educational conference and, you know, the exhibitor booth. You know, I think people do probably a better job in planning and preparing optimizing their engagement at the event. But I think that a lot often falls off after the event. You know, I can think of a handful of conversations, I had at IMEX where I'm still trying to, you know, get that conversation sparked back up and moving forward. There seems to be just an inherent challenge, especially on the exhibitor side. You know, I often have conversations with people, you know, who exhibit at the show and, you know, help them understand the imperativeness of being diligent about your follow-up after the event, right? Really making sure that you're quick to reach out to people, that you're conscious of the conversation that you had, you're prioritizing the more important opportunities, but not forgetting the ones that maybe didn't seem as important, and recognizing that, you know, it's an ongoing conversation. And you've got to have a strategy to that if you really want to optimize the value. When I worked on a trade show, one of my favorite things to hear from somebody was, "Well, I didn't get anything out of the show," you know. And you're like, "Well, tell me a little bit more about that." They'd be like, "Well, you know, it wasn't very busy." But I'd walk by their booth and see that they weren't kind of standing up and trying to engage in the aisle. I'd ask them, you know, "Did you at least send an email out to your customers, let them know that you were going to be there? Maybe more than one?" No email was sent. Did you get the lead retrieval and, you know, make sure that you scanned the badge and take an approach to how you qualified the conversations and put the notes in there so you have something to get back on? Did you push that back? And I mean, there's so many intricate parts of that process that, you know, improve that follow-up that I think are often missed. But, you know, it also is a lot of work and can be cumbersome sometimes.
Yeah. So when I'm, again, I'm talking to attendees as well as exhibitors, I hear two kinds of things. One is that the attendees say that very few of the follow-ups that they get, and when they say very few, it's like single digit, very low single digit percentage point of all the interactions they have is to the point of the discussion that they'd had at the booth. So I have very detailed discussion with somebody for 20 minutes. I come away. After 10 days, I get a mail, which is a generic thing, starting the conversation all over again.
Right.
Right. So, or very little context of what we had discussed. So that I hear, and I also hear exhibitors say that actually it's a big problem. I mean, we do not know how to actually capture the conversation at a granular level because, you know, I'm talking to one guy, he's going away, and I'm talking to the next, and there is just no breathing space. If I'm running a good booth, I mean, if I'm having five people coming to my booth in the whole day, then anyway, it's a bad scene for me, right? But if I'm doing reasonably well, I am just swamped, and I just don't have time beyond maybe making some quick notes behind a card or something. And the lead retrieval apps typically want you to type it in your mobile phone, which, as we all know, is not easy.
Yeah.
And that makes it even more difficult because then we are really making it cryptic, which we don't know what we wrote when we go back. Right. So this is an area which I and you're right. I've been talking about this because I'm interested, and I see that is when we talk of event ROI, the engagement is the key.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are saying that we are not doing the engagement right. We are entertaining them. We are talking to them. We are giving them information. I mean, okay, that's happening face to face. But what next? Because he's not going to remember. He's meeting 50 booth guys. He's not going to remember much of what you are telling him beyond the very, very high level points. So the point I'm sort of elaborating it so much is you are absolutely right. And this is the same thing I hear. And by the way, when I last time I said I was in LA, I was in an event, and I was in a bunch of events in Calgary and so on. The typical getting back is not even 7 days. A lot of them is 14 days. And by that time, this quote unquote buyer is back deep into his own work.
Right.
And he has completely sort of switched off from what happened 14 days back at an event. So the point I'm making is, or rather my question is, why is it this? I mean, you have seen this up close, both as a technology company, you have seen it as you're talking to others, and you've seen it as you talk to your colleagues and friends. Why are we sort of neglecting or not fixing, whatever way you look at it, the engagement problem?
Yeah, you know, look, there's some institutional things that make that a challenge, right? If you've ever been on a trade show floor during setup, you witness the chaos, right? You know, depending on the show, depending on the size of the booth, depending on the personnel, depending on whether you've got someone building it for you, you got to build it yourself. You know, just walking the show floor is a maze to get from one side to the other, right? Because it's incredibly chaotic. So, you know, that's what the exhibitor starts with, complete and utter chaos. And, you know, in a limited time frame to get themselves set up and prepared. And, you know, I think a lot of people would probably agree with me, but, you know, a lot of exhibitors don't wait until they wait until the last 2 weeks, you know, to kind of get stuff in order. You know, the people who do trade shows consistently, right, always have a more devised plan. They're much more methodic about it, often have somewhat single personnel that maintenance it. But if you do one show a year, maybe two shows a year, you know, you're always going to be a bit behind the curve. So there is some institutional challenges with that, right? You know, taking the time, you know, again, if you're going to use lead retrieval, you need to use it you know, optimize it. You need to go into it. You need to set up the proper qualifiers. You need to build some surveys, right? Things that are easy to engage with during the conversation. You had mentioned that, you know, taking notes. Well, it's not really easy to take notes when you're actually talking to somebody, right? You usually have to take them after the fact. And so if you've got a qualifier in there, you know, that makes it simple for you to, as you're conferencing, to kind of hit that qualifier, or, you know, to answer kind of a survey, right? You're going to get a lot, you're going to be able to do that a lot easier than you would with the notes, knowing that afterwards you still want to take those notes. And then again, make sure you pivot on that after the show. You know, that may also be another great place where, you know, AI could dramatically change that to some extent. Or again, where maybe an application is looking at all of some of those touch points in the system, and also coming back to the attendee and sort of, you know, also saying, hey, shouldn't solely be on them to follow up with you, right? Let's also help you understand where the priority of that conversation is, and encourage you to make some of the effort to reach out. You know, because often as an attendee, right, we feel entitled, right? We're the ones spending the money. You want my attention, you know? And so, you know, I'm going to go booth to booth and have my engagements and, you know, organize things the best that I can, which again is often, you know, not well thought out. And then you, exhibitor, have to take that initiative. And I don't necessarily think that's fair, right? Sure. You know, the exhibitor should be being, you know, should be a little bit more organized and methodic about, you know, making sure that they're going to follow up these people and that they're taking the steps to organize the data, right? You know, 3 days, X amount of hours in the day, X amount of conversations. It's really difficult to remember what's going on. So any tool that you can incorporate into that process that's going to make it better is going to dramatically improve that follow-up, as long as you actually do the follow-up, right?
Yeah. I mean, the million-dollar question is why we don't do the follow-up.
You know, I don't have the exact stat, but I remember looking at something one time, and the actual percentage of people who don't follow up was much higher than I would have expected it to be.
Yes.
And I just can't remember it off the top of my head. I have it somewhere.
Yeah, I heard it's 70%.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
I think there's a series of things that people should be looking at that aren't being prioritized. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the amount of confusion around what's actually in the market. You know, terminology is relatively inconsistent. There are a lot of all-in-one solutions out there. And, you know, my first question is always all-in-one of what?
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. What else do you see is actually growing in the tech landscape that you are looking at right now?
Yeah, look, I think the tech landscape is incredibly difficult. It's very confusing. You know, I've spent a lot of time over the last, you know, year, you know, heavily researching it. And, you know, companies pop up. It's not incredibly difficult to start a company, especially within certain verticals and categories. And so there's just a lot out there. And, you know, to speak to one or the other, you know, is a bit complex. Because I think there's a series of things that people should be looking at that aren't being prioritized. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the amount of confusion around what's actually in the market. Terminology is relatively inconsistent. I don't want to shun the all-in-one because I think that the strategy of all-in-one is a great strategy. But there are a lot of all-in-one solutions out there. My first question is always all-in-one of what? Is it all-in-one of 7? Is it all-in-one of 3? You know, is it all-in-one of 15? And that's not always, crystal clear. I think because there's so much confusion around the terminology and how companies are presenting themselves and the lack of clarity on, really what those core event technologies are, it's hard to see where there are trends. It's hard to see where things are emerging. Is this company that's come into the market really have something that's, tech forward, or are they just replicating the feature sets that are in 18 other, potential platforms? It's a really difficult landscape to navigate. And this is coming from somebody who spends their day, actively doing it. I often think to myself, man, this has got to be terrible for an event producer, if it's this difficult to me. Now, I don't think producers are looking at hundreds of different applications. So, the scope of complexity isn't the same. But search words are inconsistent. Some of the tools out there that, say, look at this and look at that, if you're looking at this, are very generalized. Again, some inherent challenges around that, really being able to say, here are some great trends. Now, I definitely stumble across stuff, where I do think that somebody's doing something different or maybe offering a unique value. And in a lot of cases I see that and, I ask myself, well, what question would the producer have to ask themselves to find this, right? Or to even know that this existed. And sometimes it's a siloed solution, and sometimes it's a feature set sitting within, a multi-purposed solution. It's just very unorganized. It's very confusing. And I'd like to see some improvement in that. And I think with some improvement in that, it'd probably be a lot easier to answer that question.
Do you see any new emerging categories which are attacking some of the problems that these all-in-ones are not sort of addressing?
I really think that that there's a lot of opportunity in the planning and organizing part, right? A lot of people, use some of the basic technologies, whether in, single solution working cohesive or, in an all-in-one. But I think there's a pretty big gap in tools that are, again, event technology, but help you, execute different attributes of what you're trying to manage. Meaning an alternative to a spreadsheet, whether it's some sort of intelligent scheduling tool, some sort of intelligent task tool, something that, might be assisting in budgeting or, understanding the variable of events that you're working in, and also working to correlate that to the exhibitors who are participating in that process and the attendees participating in that process. That's an area where I think, we're going to probably see more growth because, again, I think when people are looking at the community, scheduling, planning, organizing isn't a category that someone's prioritizing. There's tools out there, a variety of tools out there that are doing it. Some of them live within all-in-one platforms. Some are, you know, kind of specialized in that space. But I think that's an area where, you know, event organizers would benefit greatly, knowing that they can, you know, get out of some of these manual processes and these mundane, you know, ways that they approach things, and optimize a platform to make it more efficient, and, you know, help provide greater success.
Sure. And there is nothing there at the moment, is what you're saying.
I don't think that it's an area that there's a lot of options at the moment.
Fair enough. Okay. So when you look ahead to 2025, what are your expectations and what are you dreading?
continued research. Not that I'm dreading it. It's just a lot. And, you know, I'm routinely adding companies into the database to get a good, you know, snapshot of who that company is requires quite a bit of engagement. You know, certainly always trying to work on streamlining that. You know, organizationally, I'm a one-man show at the moment, right? Would like to be a multi-person show. But yeah, you know, it's always this uphill battle. You know, you're adding more companies. If you're really prioritizing the search, then you can keep up with taking a snapshot of them. So I don't know if I dread that, but, you know, I know that going into 2025, there's going to be new things on the horizon. I'm going to stumble across new stuff. And I'm, you know, not necessarily focusing on a single segment. I mean, if it's any sort of event technology, I'm taking the time to put it into the environment and try to work it into the life cycle. I do have some logic to the things that I approach, when and where, but, you know, sometimes something just falls in your lap and you've got to execute on it. I'd like to see more, you know, more valuable content around event technology, ways to optimize it, ways to utilize it, educational for the event producers. I think that's an opportunity. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are making an effort at it. And I want to encourage them to continue to do that. I know it's something I want to, you know, do a better job at contributing to. But I also want to encourage those out there who aren't maybe looking at that as a priority to maybe start to make it more of a priority. You know, the thought that we build these strategic plans around our events, right? Often a multi-year plan, something you got to go present something to somebody to, you know, get the buy-in on. And to think that we do that, but that we don't devise an event technology strategy that is, you know, encompassed within it, right? That they're just, you know, these subset tools that live there, I think is a bit crazy. And certainly, you know, that doesn't happen overnight. You know, you start an event and you build a strategy, you work on it, you change it, right? It takes years for an event to really kind of come together, solidify and get itself there. But I think, you know, encouraging producers to start thinking that way, even if it's just taking baby steps, and really trying to understand, you know, how the technology can, you know, improve the value of the event. And maybe make their lives just a little bit better. You know, that takes a plan, that takes a strategy, that takes thinking it out, and routinely, you know, making adjustments, as you go. It also, you know, hinges heavily too on, you know, whether you're matched up with the right technology. And again, you know, the way that the landscape kind of, you know, is set and the complexities with it, it's hard to find the right match of technology.
Yeah, I agree. And I have a thought that there are two areas I think I would like to see some movement personally. One is potentially a single sign-on for attendees, which means, it's like having a Google kind of ID which you can just plug into any event that you're going to attend, and you don't have to reinvent, rewrite, copy, paste, all of that. You know, one single sign-on, which is not Google or LinkedIn, but actually meant for events. So that's one thing I think could be very, very useful. The other thing that I've been thinking of is there should be a way to have access to better access to an exhibition after the exhibition. So I feel that a lot of attendees will benefit if they had the ability to continue engagement with booths that they could not make to. I mean, nobody makes all the booths. I mean, unless it's a very small exhibition or a trade show. I mean, if you're talking of something like IMEX, I don't know how many attendees actually made to all the booths. I would pretty much bet nobody's doing more than serious conversations, more than 30% of the booths. It's quite difficult. So I think the ability to have access to those booths post-event in some form would also actually help organizers continue to build the engagement and a community around their show. I think there has to be some comprehensive thought go into these two areas. Any thoughts on from you on this?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts on that. You know, it always brings me back to kind of the missed opportunity, I think, that, you know, the pandemic had, right? When I looked at, you know, what we were dealing with, I never once thought there's no way that these trade shows are going to go away. I never once thought that they were going to disappear. Many people seemed concerned about it. But I've always understood the value of face-to-face engagement. You know, we saw all these, you know, push to this virtual and this digital setting. And don't get me wrong, you know, it's made it stronger. It was there beforehand. And depending on the strategy that you had, you know, there are plenty of people that were optimizing those environments and having success. It just started to kind of open the door to say, hey, these things can also live cohesively. Where I often felt like there was a missed opportunity, you know, is that, you know, even when we're at the show, there are times in the show where time is maybe not as a value, right? Because like every trade show, day one, you know, people pour in by, you know, noon. It's at the height of, you know, the potential of the event and the excitement is there. You know, day two, you know, the first part of the morning is good. And then the latter part of the day starts to slow down. Day three, you know, it's really, you know, not as many people there. Doesn't mean that a ton of great business isn't conducted on day three. You know, some of the people who had the most important roles often came that day because then they could just get what they needed to get done. Assuming again that the right person stayed all 3 days. But I always felt like there was a missed opportunity to connect the buyer to the booth at the show, right? When times were slow, you know, yeah, I've got this scheduling in this pre-environment and I got to optimize the aisle here. But when things slow down, someone who couldn't make the show, it'd be great if I could find a way to engage with them. And technology never really opened that door. But I think if that door was opened, it would set a much better example and educate people kind of on, you know, here's the booth and here's where I'm at, right? And give some of the same sort of context of experience that could carry on in some capacity, even when the booth wasn't there, right? And so I think if we're going to, you know, make that a higher priority, we've got to find a way to, you know, train people within the event to optimize that engagement, open that door, create that broader reach. And then I think once that reach kind of solidifies itself, it's much easier to push into that, you know, this can go on for X number of days, or, you know, this is going to transition maybe into a slightly different environment, or maybe this supports more of that 365, you know, approach. you know, I always am, you know, hesitant of community because what I've got 5 different social networks I'm dealing with on my phone as is. And anytime someone's like, well, we've got this other community where you can get in. Well, you know, there's 3 or 4 that just are industry centric that I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how anybody has time to be here. You know, so again, you know, a good strategy, and I want to see people continue to push towards it. I think, again, it doesn't have to be about the event. There's an opportunity for it to be more whole. But I think if we can find a way to get people to recognize that we're trying to optimize the time, and that time, you know, if there's not a face-to-face engagement, there could be a digital connection, and if you know, constructed properly, could help that be something that, you know, is extended outside of the event.
Yeah, that makes sense, and I think we need to see how the tech developers actually think and where they think. I mean, finally, it has to connect to the market, right? So people have to pay for it. I mean, you can have a brilliant thing, but if organizers or exhibitors don't want to pay for it, then it's unlikely to sort of be sustained or invested in. And it's always tricky to figure this out, but absolutely, you're completely on the ball. When do you think your, for the lack of a better term, I'll say the landscape that you're working on, when do you think you will be in a position to make it accessible and public?
Yeah. Well, fortunately for me, I've got an opportunity to speak at Event Tech Live in London in the coming weeks. My session is around, you know, are we defining event tech correctly? Because I think that's the question that's being asked. That's the question I'm asking. I feel like other people are asking it. And so I'm looking forward to really kind of presenting some of my findings and elaborating on, you know, some of the challenges that I think are faced with that. And also, you know, giving kind of a taste of where I am and how I see it being defined. And I'm hoping to kind of leverage that a little bit to create some exposure, as well as, you know, connecting with the organizations that are there. Just as I did at IMEX. IMEX was a little more concentrated at Event Tech Live. You know, I'll be looking to broaden that, because I think that there is value in the, you know, companies that are being defined to be part of that conversation, to care about it, right? To understand that with better definition comes, you know, better clarity, right? Better understanding. And, you know, I think there's got to be some initiative in them wanting to support that cause as much as there is, you know, coming to the producer and saying, hey, look, here's a simplistic way to approach this, right? And, you know, making that accessible and I suppose relatively cost effective, right, to allow them to have better, you know, a better approach to what they do. So the other part of that is, you know, as we start to define, it can't just be one person's, you know, perspective of it, right? There's a number of examples out there where things are being published, and, you know, it's their version of what this is, right? And, you know, I don't think that it should be, you know, just one individual's version. I think that it's an industry, you know, problem. I think that it's an industry initiative. And I think that, you know, more than one person should be involved in that conversation. So certainly I'm eager to kind of open that dialogue as well and kind of put it out there to folks, you know, I guess you could say like myself, who just have a general, you know, interest in this and a passion for it and want to see it, you know, see the tech really foster, you know, success and growth in events. And ask who else might want to be part of that defining process. And I think, you know, council type concept, right? Where, you know, some collective can come together, make sure that we don't have any, you know, sort of biases that we're looking at it for the greater good of the community, and publish something that we can continue to speak to and encourage people to, you know, adopt in some manner. Certainly, you know, my business model, I think, really is going to thrive on that exercise, which is why I started to do the work, why I started to, you know, take the time to really break it down. And it's, let me tell you, it's not been fun, I suppose. I always enjoy the work, but I don't know if I would consider it fun. But, you know, I want to make things simpler for the community. And when, you know, when you're lacking clarity and definition, and sometimes, you know, let's be honest, there are individuals who optimize that, who benefit from it, right? You know, the more confusing it is, depending on your strategy and how you approach that, maybe the greater number of touches you get, and, you know, you're there first to work with that customer. And, you know, good for you, right? I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. I just look back on the buyer and ask myself, you know, maybe that was your first touch. But, you know, if you might have had a few other touches, might you have come across something that was better fit for you, right? That might actually offer greater value. You know, when I work with somebody and we go through the process, because certainly it's about getting to know them, it's about getting to know the tech and that proprietary science sort of process, and how I connect the dots, you know, lead to, you know, good relationships. And it's amazing when you work with that customer and all of a sudden they're in the right tech, especially after years of being in the wrong tech, and seeing how much they prosper, how much easier things are for them. In a lot of cases, you know, money being saved, and then seeing the impact of that on their customers, right? There's a lot of value in that. And I think, I feel like that isn't something that people, you know, really experience. But, you know, not everybody's got, you know, a nice dollar amount set aside for a consultant to give them their one-on-one time. And that's why I think coming back to these sort of definition and providing clarity and, you know, looking to educate on both sides, can maybe better optimize that. And, you know, increase the probability of, you know, knowing that you are truly finding the right tech. And coming back to that conversation we had, knowing that there's a category you should be looking at that maybe you're not looking at, and making sure that, again, you know, in all the options that are out there, that, you know, you're truly assessing every option, right? And then how those options, you know, correlate down to the platforms themselves. So, you know, feeling pretty confident about where I am in the process. Certainly the opportunity to get on stage has allowed me to, you know, reformulate it in a little bit different way. And I've been working on that a bit from a content strategy, you know, moving forward. So yeah, I think I'm getting pretty close.
Wonderful. So two quick things. One, when you are done with your presentation, would you come back and do a presentation for us, so our listeners can have a peek at what you presented just now?
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to do that.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. The other thing is that how deep is your database now? I mean, how many products are you through right now?
Yeah. So right now I have about 500 companies that I've designated, as, you know, some sort of event technology. Now, keep in mind, I just did started doing some cleaning in that. There's a good number of companies that have event technology within them. You know, I just pushed a release out, and, you know, in it, I had stated a number of, you know, over 7,000 that came from a company that, you know, tracks these types of things. And again, you know, do I really think that there are 7,000 event technologies out there? No. But are there potentially 7,000 companies that have some sort of event tech within them? Quite likely. But, you know, the database grows. You know, I think that there's probably, you know, maybe somewhere between 800 and 1,000 But you know, again, finding it's the hard part. Even the 500 to me seems absurd, crazy. And I can't imagine being somebody looking at this market and thinking there's really 500 potential options. I think most people probably look at it and think, you know, there's 25 or 50. That's something that's palatable, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the next phase is pretty much like if you look at MarTech or SalesTech, to see how many individual products exhibitors or organizers are using, getting a sense of that. So typically, for instance, a B2B salesperson uses about 7 to 10 sales tech products of a landscape of 15,000, right? So I think we will be sort of arriving at similar kind of numbers as we go forward. And obviously in this scenario, the attendee uses practically nothing except for the mobile app. If and when they're available, otherwise they're not using anything at all. So they're part of a very critical part of the ecosystem, which is not using any technology at all. I think that there's a lot to look at and a lot to sort of decipher as you go along. And I am excited to with the opportunity that I'll get you back soon to talk about what you're presenting at Event Tech Live.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, I mean, the other thing you make a really good point there is that, you know, it's just not about just the producer and the event tech company. It's very much about the user. Like I often, you know, draw a triangle here, and you've got, you know, your event producer over here, or organizer, you've got your event technology company over here, but you're working cohesive to the circle up here, which are the people who are coming to your event and engaging in your event. And that's a really important thing to take into consideration and something that I look at, you know, this research and think it'll be great when we can really start to tie it to the people who are supposed to be benefiting the most from it.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit TradeshowEngage.com. That is TradeshowEngage.com. Jashaya, this has been a fantastic session. I'm not sure that I did justice to your time in terms of asking you some good questions. I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and I hope to see you back really soon.
Yeah, listen, you know, it's always fun to get on this and just see what happens and see where it goes. I think we talked about a lot of important stuff. I always love getting the opportunity to share my thoughts on something. But, you know, the reality is, let's hope the folks who listen to it get some significant value out of it.
I'm counting on that. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, Subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for Pitchling, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.